In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We are at the third Sunday in the season of Lent, and once again, I wish to remind us all that we are in a fight for our immortal soul. And our fight is not with flesh and blood, it's not with people in the world, it's not with Mother Nature, it's not against any of these things, but our fight is against powers and principalities from on high. We are in a life and death struggle, battle, a war with devils. But we don't come unarmed. We're not just hapless victims, for we have been given a guardian angel. We can call upon the angels in our defense to help us fight against these devils. We have been given the sacraments. We have been given grace. We have the tools that are necessary for us not only to resist the assaults of the devils, but to overcome them, to gain the mastery of them, to command them to depart. And I think this is something that we seldom really reflect upon. We put on a victimology. We play the victim. How's that? Poor me. What can I do? I have all these temptations, all these trials, all these tribulations. It's not my fault. Maybe if God would give me more grace, I would be able to resist. And I say, you're fooling yourself. Playing this victim isn't going to help the situation. St. Paul tried that, and he prayed three times to the Lord to remove a temptation from him. And our Lord replied to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And I say to us today, God's grace is sufficient for us. We just need to be true soldiers and not be cowardly, but to realize we are soldiers in a battle, in a war, for our immortal souls. Do we love ourselves? Do we love our souls? Do we want to go to heaven? Or do we want to go to hell? Is our immortal soul something that is worth fighting for? And I hope you can all agree that our soul is something that's worth fighting for. And God is asking us, show me, how much do you love your soul? How much do you love God? How much do you really want to go to heaven? Are you going to fight for it? Are you going to work for it? And sadly, most of us must hang our head in shame and say, I guess I don't really love God. I guess I really don't love my soul. I guess I really don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to fight. I'd rather just give up and let the devil sweep me away and go peacefully into hell rather than to resist and fight. This whole season of Lent, I've been focusing on the assaults of the devils against us. And that we must fight, that we must incorporate the graces that God has given us. We must fight the good fight. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Christ. And perhaps I should not grow tired of this, but it seems I do. Or the devils tempt me to grow tired of this. It should be enough to say, God is opening up heaven to us. Do we really want it? Let us love God. If we love God, then there is no worry about the fight. But I can tell you, as your love for God grows, the assaults of the devils are going to increase. The devils are not blind, they're not deaf, they're not dumb. The devils have been around since the beginning of time. The devils have studied humankind from the moment Adam was first created. They know how God made us. They know our weaknesses. They know our strengths. And we are in a battle. Do you think the devil's going to attack you on your strong point? Does the enemy attack at the strong point? On the contrary, the enemy looks for your weakest link. The enemy attacks the weakest link. Where's the weak point in our defenses, in our barrier? Where are we most likely to succumb? That is where the devil's going to attack. And that's where we need to focus our attention, especially during the season of Lent. We must build up. We must strengthen that weak link. But I say we must also understand the devils aren't going to give up. In today's gospel, our Lord cast out a devil. And we could make a whole sermon about our Lord pointing out to the Pharisees that Beelzebub, the prince of devils, does not cast out devils. A house divided against itself cannot stand, and how foolish they are to accuse him of that. But I would rather focus on what our Lord has to say just a little bit later. When he casts out a devil, the devil goes roaming about in waterless places, in the desert, looking for some place to stay. He wants a house. He doesn't want to go back to hell. No matter how miserable his life may be here on earth, he doesn't want to go to hell. He'd rather find a human soul, a human habitation. That devil that has been cast out, and we have all had a devil cast out from us by our baptism. That devil is not going to give up on us. He's going to come back. And he's not going to give up, and he'll keep returning. And his goal is he will keep returning until he succeeds. He is determined. And our Lord says when that devil comes back and he sees his house cleaned and adorned, that is, we've grown complacent in our faith, we've grown careless. We can think that, oh, you see, I've received the sacraments, I've received the grace of God, and now I can relax. The devils will stay far away from me. When the devil comes back and he sees us in that state, he goes and he gets seven other devils worse than himself. Come on, friends, I found a new place. Help me take back my own house, and you can stay there with me. And so the devil, with seven others, that makes eight, they come and take over that soul once again, and the state of that soul now is worse than it was when it only had one devil. And so I caution us. This is very serious. We are in a battle. A battle for our immortal soul. The devil wants to take hold of us, wants to possess us, wants to carry us with him back into hell. The angels and the saints want us to resist the devils, want to assist us in this fight. The angels and God want us to win this fight so that we can go to heaven and we can be with them. But the ultimate decision of who wins and who loses is ourselves. I like to refer children to the fact that they are in control of their own souls. Their parents can't make them go to heaven. Their parents can't make them go to hell. We have the example of many lives of the saints where children had evil parents and they became saints. Where saints had children that fell away and became evil. Each one of us are in control of our own souls. what decision we make. Do I love God or not? And it is foolishness for us to think, oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do anything. You chose to listen to the devil. You chose to follow the devil. When we accuse ourselves, we must accuse ourselves. We have a free will. And the devil can't touch our free will. Not even God will touch our free will. He has respected our free will. I don't say he can't. I say he won't. Because if he did, it wouldn't be free any longer. He's given us a free will, and he says, I'm not going to force you to love me. I'm not going to force you to choose me. I've given you a free will. And I will respect your free will. Do you love me or do you not love me? Do you want to come to me or do you want to go away from me? That's how much God loves us. That he will respect that free will. He wants us to freely choose. And it is only through that free will that we can love. Without a free will, we cannot really love. As I mentioned to someone just yesterday, well, you see, if you make a young man apologize to his teammates, is that a real apology? If you've been made to apologize, then you haven't apologized of your own free will, and it's not a real apology. If God forces you to love him, is that real love? No. It's only true love when it comes from your heart and it is done freely. It is done willingly. And so I emphasize again, you have a free will. You have the power to choose. And no matter what the devil attacks us with, no matter how many devils attack us, we are still in control because we have a free will. We can either listen to them and follow them, or we can reject them and tell them to go away, leave us alone. And I know that many Catholics are accused of superstition. You see, we must bless our house with holy water. And I said, yes, you must bless your house with holy water. You must bless yourself. And they say, well, I have my bottle of holy water. The devils can't attack me here. Well, yeah, they can. Your holy water is just another weapon. It's not a guarantee that the devils are going to leave you alone. There is no guarantee the devils are going to leave you alone. And if they do, they're coming back with seven more worse than themselves. The holy water is a weapon that you must use to fight. You can't just sprinkle the outsides of your house and say, now the devils can't enter this house. It's not magic. I believe what many people fall into is nothing less than superstition. These sacramentals are given to us as tools, as weapons, as our defense, and they must be employed, and they must be employed with faith, with confidence, not with the sense that they're going to protect us as a magical amulet. And I can go on with the other sacramentals that we, I believe, many Catholics have given a superstitious interpretation to. We wear the scapular. Whosoever dies wearing the scapular will not suffer eternal fire. It says so right here. This was Our Lady's promise, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And I suggest to many people quite frequently, what does it mean to wear this garment? Not just have it hanging around your neck. The scapular is a modified form of the habit of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, a religious order. The habit that I wear is a Franciscan habit. But it's interesting that the garment we wear is called a habit. If I were to ask our children to define what a habit is, they would tell me it is something that we do repeatedly, that we don't really have to think about. I have a habit of waking up before the alarm clock goes off. I have a habit of wanting to eat when I get hungry. I have a habit to wash myself, to shower, to clean. I have a habit to walk. I have a habit of going to work, a habit of driving the car, a habit of doing my homework at such a time. We have habits. And when a religious puts on their garment, which is called a habit, what they are putting on, what they are professing, is a habitual state of life, a pursuit of a certain goal. This garment reminds them of the life they must live. The Carmelite habit is not just the garment, but it is the habitual state of their mind, their intention, the way they live. And I can tell you that, yes, if you put on the garment of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, not just the physical garment, but you put on that life, that habitual state and frame of mind, whosoever dies in that state of mind, living that kind of life habitually, whoever puts on that habit will not suffer the flames of eternal fire. I don't have a problem with that. But I can tell you it's not just the little cloth hanging around your neck. That little cloth hanging around your neck, called a scapular, is a daily reminder to you to live the habitual life in the state of grace. To live the habitual state of resisting the temptations of the world, the devil, and our own fallen nature. When you make a habit of pursuing virtue, you will die in that habit. And if you die in that state, that habit, you won't go to hell. But that is a habit of warfare, of resisting the constant onslaught of the devil. It is a habit of cooperating with the graces of God. It is a habit of constantly renewing the weapons that God has given us. By receiving the sacraments frequently, by prayer, mortification, daily denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Christ, that is the habit we must develop. That is the habit we must hold on to. And the devil wishes to crush us and say, oh, see, you fell here. You might as well give up. You can't continue. Don't even try anymore. Those are all demonic suggestions. Don't despair. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Our Lord fell 3 times on the way to Calvary, but each time he got up and continued again. In spite of all the pain, no matter how much it hurt, how weak he was, he forced himself to get up and go again. And I say in our battle here, especially during this season of Lent, when we see the attacks of the devil, the world, our fallen nature, don't give up. You fell? So what? Get up and go again. This didn't work? Okay, try something else. Don't give up. The goal is worth fighting for. It's worth working for. Even if you're only doing it to avoid hell, it's worth it. But I suggest to you that you lift your eyes to heaven, to Christ, with a desire to get there. Work for something positive. It's not just a defense against the devils. We must strive to advance in grace and virtue. And I don't want to discourage you, but I can tell you, as you advance in grace and virtue, the assaults of the devils don't grow less. They increase. As you become stronger, the attacks become stronger. As you get closer to the goal, the assault becomes greater. And it reminds me of an old man told me in the military. He says, when you're in the foxhole and the bullets are flying over your head, the bullets are flying to the left, the bullets are flying to the right, he says, it's time to stand up and charge forward because you're on target. You're where you need to be. If the enemy isn't shooting at you, you're way off target. When the enemy is attacking you, you know that you must be doing something right. If the devils are assaulting you, you're suffering temptation, you must be on target. Because if you were on your way to hell, they wouldn't be attacking you. They would be coddling you in that state. Oh, just relax. Everything is okay. Life is good. Stay calm and just follow me safely and gently into hell. But when the devils are attacking, it means that we've done something worthwhile. And our goal should be not to lay down our weapons, but to pick them up, clean them, gather up some more ammunition, and charge forward. Advance, not go back, not retreat, not give up, not surrender, but to fight the good fight right to the end. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.